This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA and the ABC Listener.
I think I have the happiest 70-year-old in Perth sitting next to me. Happy 70th birthday to you.
You,
how
Amber.
Good is it? You started and I shut you down because I want you to tell me good it is being 70.
God, it is so fantastic to be 70. Can you imagine any other species that lasts for 70 years has an awesome rollicking time of life? Something different is thrown at you all the time. Every decade's entirely different. You learn so much more. You become so much more laid back when you're 70. Although my children would say the last week of getting stuff ready for the party, they're my stress levels.
Opposite
of laid back. But, you know, you acquire sort of a, I reckon when you're 70, you start acquiring that worldly knowledge of knowing where you are.
Well, I feel like that, and I'm 60 next week.
So you'll be way ahead of the game when you're 70.
Okay, even better. I'm so happy to hear that. Now, somebody sent in a song for you. So you've got some fans.
Oh.
David Templeman.
AKA Dave from Mandurah.
Tempo and Jonesy.
Tempo
have
and Jonesy.
Made you a song. Shall we have a listen?
Let's listen to it. Go out in your garden, sit there and have a little look around.
Sabrina, you're warming my heart. You're helping my garden and daily. Oh, Sabrina, I'm drowning in weeds. I'm begging you please for some help. Oh, Sabrina, my garden is dry. Help me with fertilization. Oh, Sabrina, I'm down on my knees. I now hear your laugh on FM. On FM. Listening to Roots and Shoots with my spade and trusty gardening boots.
I need help.
I need help with my drooping plums. And I know you're the expert. You've got a green thumb. Sabrina, my trees just won't fruit. Do I need to water or prune them? Oh, Sabrina, what did you say? You want me to chop them all back?
Have you got a hatchet or an axe?
Chop them back.
I want you to chop, chop, chop.
Whoa, ho, 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 ho. Whoa, ho, 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 ho. Jubilation, my citrus are firm. My veggies and roses are thriving. Propagation, the birds and the bees. It's all thanks to you, my Sabrina. Whoa, 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 whoa.
You won't have killed it, I promise.
Oh, my God. Face hurts from
it's like talking to Mother Nature.
Oh, oh, God, that was brilliant.
That was so good. Tempo and Jonesy.
Oh, you are just come at a legends.
Time. The lines are open for questions for Sabrina, 1300 222 720. And who have we got first? We've got Ellie in Guildford. Good morning, Ellie.
Good morning, Amber. Good morning, Sabrina. Thank you for taking my call.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you. I've become a caterpillar murderer.
Oh.
And big time. And I'm here to confess, but it's my neighbour's tree. Mm-hmm. He's got a whopping great big
cape lilac.
Mm. Yeah. And every night they just come and crawl over my fence into my garden that I'm trying to grow new plants in.
Yeah.
What can I do? I Googled it and it says tie a hessian bag around the trunk. Well, without me actually going into his property, which I can't do. And,
Well, it probably... Have you spoken to them, Ellie?
No, because he is a bit of a recluse.
I was going to say, because most people that own a Cape lilac tree actually do the banding around it anyway, because all the caterpillars are very sociable, and they just like to pop in your lounge room.
And in your hat.
In your hat, in your boots.
In your
Look, the only thing...
And I trapped one.
Yeah.
I got one after murdering about 50.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going to just see what happens. I put it in a little plastic tub, and I'm staring at it, and it's just, over the last 2 days, I've obviously killed it, but it's produced this little orange bead. What's that all about?
Oh, it's just pooing.
Oh. I've got caterpillar poo as well. Lovely.
So there is a product that is a bacteria that you can use on your plants on your side, because you're going to have to keep it up until the caterpillars finish their life cycle. And it's completely safe for you and for birds and for everyone else. Only affects caterpillars. So go to your nursery and say you want a bacteria that's specific for the caterpillars.
Lovely. Yeah. Thank you. I knew you'd have the answer. Thank you.
She does. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Ellie.
And Patris in Goolwa Beach. Good morning, Patris.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, Patris.
Yeah, it's a lovely day here.
Oh, it's a pretty bloody lovely day here too, I have to tell you.
Okay. We get your weather.
You do. You'll be getting our glorious weather in a few days. We'll send it over free of charge.
Most things that you send over here.
What's happening in your garden there, Patris?
Look, bought some native seeds.
Yeah.
And they're in they're called bombs.
Yeah, like a clay bomb.
Size of a marble.
Yeah.
And one of them's a red, yellow kangaroo paw.
Excellent.
And there's another blue tussock and dwarf. Is it the right time of year to plant them?
No. take the day off, Patris. You're going to have to wait till autumn, mate.
Summer, autumn.
Oh. In autumn. You don't be planting seed bombs in summer. Because even if they germinate, they just go like that.
There you go.
Oh, sizzle.
Yeah, but it's only a couple of weeks till autumn.
I reckon autumn's coming a little bit later these days.
Yeah, it's too hot.
Yeah, I would wait until the end of March.
Oh, bugger, because I've already planted one.
Okay, and atone your sins. You'll need to do a few rounds with the rosary beads. You can confess, you've already confessed, so you're forgiven. And just see what happens. I mean, I love being proved wrong.
Let us know how it goes.
It hadn't been that hot here, you know, around about the mid-20s.
Yeah, it's just it's the long daylight hours, really, that's the clincher.
Patris, thank you for that, and good luck with them. Josephine is in South Perth. What's going on with your frangies?
Frangipani. Oh, good morning, Sabrina.
Morning, Josephine.
I read your column say to protect your frangipanis from sunburn, and I've planted some new ones which are in a very sunny spot. There is a spray.
Yes.
Commercial spray in a blue bottle.
Yep.
I wasn't going to spray it on my frangipanis because they're a bit sensitive sort of bark.
Yeah.
Can I use that or something else?
No. Go right ahead and spray that on. That's all fine and dandy.
Okay.
Yep.
Easy.
Do that today if you like, Josephine. Okay.
Good luck with that.
Thanks. Happy 70th, Perth. Happy 70th.
Ah, thank you, Josephine.
It's a great year to have been born. You were born in. Some were born then too.
Splendid year, isn't it?
Thank you, Josephine.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Hi, Kaz in Australind. How's your silver birch?
Hi, not going good actually. I've got three mature 30-year-old silver birch trees.
Yeah.
Well, I've got two left.
Right.
And Sabrina,
it's not sounding good.
I know. Look, it's heartbreaking because these are about 30 years old and they're just big, beautiful feature trees in the garden. I have heard you say before that it might be climate change.
Yep.
So these, I've lost one in the front. close by, they'd be about 8 metres, 7 to 8 metres tall.
Yeah.
And really looking at the other two, they have a lot of dead branches and very minimal leaves. So
yeah.
Is there anything that I could help, like stress-wise?
I tell you what, if in June, July, you could get like 3 feet of snow and just put that around the base of them, they'd probably enjoy that. It is getting warmer and windier. So I think all those beautiful European trees are really struggling. The other thing is the root system is in that delightful Australian soil eventually. It gets down through all the good stuff you've put in, even though it's the top 30 centimetres of the root system that takes in the nutrients and stuff. I just think, they're just going to struggle with climate change. The only thing you can do is make sure they're really well mulched. So I'd put a 10-centimetre mulch on top. Mm-hmm. Keep putting in the cow manure and compost every single year around the base of them. And you can spray them with that polymer spray that's for sunburn. And make sure you use a wetting agent and water them. I think that's about all you can do, Kaz.
So when you use that sunscreen, is that on the leaves, or are you talking about the trunks?
No, the leaves. Yeah. The leaves.
Yeah.
It just helps with transpiration.
Wow. Yeah, so I'll have to stand on top of the roof.
Well, and then you can have a look at the view while you're up there and go, it's actually really lovely, my garden.
Yeah, I'm gathering I'm probably going to have to replace them, and if that is so, obviously I've got more natives going into the garden, but this is fairly close to the house.
Right.
What would you suggest is a nice native tree that...
Do you know what has beautiful... There's two acacias. There's one called Acacia spectabilis, which people use instead of silver birch trees. And then there's another acacia called Sterling Silver, and they have beautiful... almost white leaves, whitish grey leaves.
How big were the
only gets to six to about 5 to 6 meters, the Sterling Silver. And the other one gets to about 6-7 meters high.
Okay. Lovely.
I'll give those a go. Okay. Thanks,
Kaz. Good luck
with that.
Thanks, Kaz. Harry is in Bacchus Marsh, and we have some photographs here.
Oh, a little truncation going on there.
One is a young Umundi Kwandong, which got scorched in 46-degree heat.
Ooh, didn't it?
Will it affect growth? Hello, Harry.
G'day, Harry.
Hi, how are you? Absolutely love your show.
Thank you.
And love both of you, and I just have to tell Sabrina, you ruined it for me.
Yep.
I cannot get advice from anyone else,
Why would you?
Oh, that's very kind.
What's your question for Sabrina?
Well, I am looking at your Umundi, and it's really sizzled.
I know.
Yes. So if you've ever been to Umundi in Queensland, you'll see that it's an entirely different climate. So because you've had such extreme heat over there, it's just heat damage, Harry. So those leaves will defoliate, they'll drop off. And then just make sure you give water, plenty of, put some compost around them. You will get new leaves, but those ones are just, it's been so hot in Victoria. So not too much you can do about that now. Just make sure you keep up the water and put some compost around it, and you'll get new leaves because they're evergreen.
Yeah, I was just wondering because if a leader shoot that got damaged, I was wondering it wouldn't affect the growth of the plant.
Well, I wouldn't prune it. I mean, the actual branch itself, the stem itself will be okay. It's more the leaves. So don't prune it.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, just leave it. And it'll shoot new leaves from that stem.
Yeah. And the other question I have was the photo I sent you. I have got a grafted dwarf orange flowering gum.
Yes.
and it has it stopped last year. Like every year, it flowers.
Yes.
Well.
Yes.
And after flowering, I prune it.
Yes.
And then this year, it hardly grew. But when I look at the graft, it looks a bit funny.
So what's happened there, Harry, is the graft is incompatible with the rootstock, and the rootstock is actually girdling the tree. So it's an overactive rootstock that's preventing the grafted bit, the top bit, to grow properly. So it's girdling it.
Ooh,
wow. Now I don't. There's not too much you will be able to do about that, Harry.
Yeah, I reckon that will go the way it's looking, because I have like staked it up. I reckon if I remove the stake, it'll break off,
and it'll snap off at that graft. I think its days are pretty well numbered, Harry. That happens with grafts. Is you get the rootstock that's far more vigorous than what the graft is, and you see it on mandarin trees because they get that big sort of bulbous bum on the bottom. Yep. Bum on the bottom, boom, boom.
I've been grafted.
I reckon it's, I think it's on the way out, Harry.
Bad news, Harry. Sorry, okay. Condolences, sir. Thank you for calling. Herb is in Byford. Hello, Herb.
Hello,
Herb, are you in the toilet?
No.
There he is. Here he comes.
I'm in the kitchen. Yep. We're just getting our breakfast together.
Oh, what are you having for breakfast, Herb?
Homegrown plums.
Yum.
I've brought in a couple of turmeric leaves to wilt to wrap around pieces of scrambled egg.
Oh, wow.
Fancy.
God, you're a bit fancy there in Byford, Herb.
Yeah, and we're frying up tomatoes and potato.
That's a decent breakfast.
We're going crazy.
Well, I had Vegemite on toast, if you're interested.
On your birthday.
Got
a bit of cake out there for you.
Ooh, I'll hook into that.
Did you see the cake?
I did. It's very
okay,
attractive.
Okay, sorry, back to Herb.
Anyway, I've got a birthday cake, Herb, so there you go.
Oh, well, you win.
What can we do for you, Herb?
Now I've two questions. The first one, watermelon.
Yeah.
When they're ripe.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like with a pumpkin, you know, things dry off and give you a clear signal.
Yeah.
With a watermelon, is it like the knock test when it starts to sound a bit hollow?
Yes, that's exactly it. And also a little bit like a pumpkin, the stem that holds the watermelon onto the vine will go a bit drier and corkier.
Ah, okay.
Mm.
All right. Well, that's not happening. It's sounding a bit more hollow.
Yep.
This sort of spherical watermelon, but it's not the kind that grows quite large.
They're smaller ones. And I also find that the crows will tell you when your watermelon's ripe.
Ah, true.
Mm, yeah, they just drill holes in it. Mm.
So your second question?
And with the watermelon as well as the Sahara cucumber vines, how do you know when they've run far enough and you just need to snip off the ends? Is it 1.5 or 2 meters, or how long are the runners before you start snipping them off?
I would actually start cutting them off at 1.5.
Oh, okay.
Yep. You can get stuck into that today as well, Herb. After your substantial breakfast, which is very fancy.
Gourmet, with a bit of bush tucker in there.
Yeah.
Send us a photo of it. And hello to Mrs. Herb in the background.
Yeah, I could hear Mrs. Herb preparing the tea. Hello. Hello, Mrs. Herb.
I've forgotten Mrs. Herb's name. I know.
Eileen.
That's Eileen and Herb. Have a wonderful day, you two, and thank you for being such dedicated listeners and contributors to the show.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Herb.
Bye.
Bye.
Kerry is in Atwell. Hello, Kerry.
Hello. Hello.
What's going on?
I've got a bare patch near a fence that really needs some plants.
Oh, you've sent a picture, yeah. And it certainly does look bare.
It's sad. And it cops the west sun.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How big do you want it?
Well, I'd like to cover the wall and the fence. I'd like some greenery. I'd like to see lots of green there.
Yes, I can understand that. But it's a driveway, is it? Or is it, yes, does it need to be narrow?
It has to be that narrow.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. There's a callistemon called Slim Jim. And it grows straight and narrow. There is also a Dodonia called Mr. Green Sheen that's tall and narrow. There's a lily pilly called Straight and Narrow that will require a fair bit of water.
Okay.
I reckon
it will be set up on retic.
So. Okay. Oh, good. Okay. So there's the lily pilly, the syzygium, Straight and Narrow. Gives a hint as to how it grows.
Yes.
Which is a lilipili. Is it a lilipili?
A lilipili.
Would I be best to do just all one?
Yes, definitely. Right. Definitely. Okay. Definitely.
Hedgeroony.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Yep. All right.
Okay. That'd be lovely.
And there's also a woolly bush that's also called Slim. Not very creative on the names. And that grows up straight and narrow. The woolly bush has a tendency in a strong wind just to rip out of the ground, though.
All right. That's brilliant. And just one little quick question. I also sent a picture through of two camellias that are a bit tall and spindly. Can I lop them?
Yes, you can, but you're going to have to wait. So there's two times you can do it. You can either wait until the end of March, but you're not going to get flowers on that part.
No.
Or okay, you wait
not
until
getting it anyway.
Okay. Oh, well, then do it then. Yep.
Yep. Okay. And how much can I take off without killing it?
A third.
Okay.
That's our usual equation, isn't it, Amber?
We'll go a third.
That's what I put in the text.
Yep.
Can I take a third off?
Absolutely.
Carrie, thanks for calling. And
thank you.
Everyone who is wishing Sabrina a happy birthday, we're seeing all of your text messages, so many of them coming through that we can't get to all of them. But we have had a man who pruned too much. Where is he? What has he said? Where is he?
Now, he definitely pruned.
I pruned my blood navel. Did I do good, says this unnamed person. What are you looking at, Sabrina?
So what we are looking at is a stump that would be probably 7 centimetres high. Now, whether you've done good or not is the question that's been asked. You probably have if you didn't want a blood navel at all in your garden. I'd say you've nailed that pretty well.
Our friend Winnie has called. Good morning, Winnie.
Yes, good morning, girls. And I'm not going to wish you a happy birthday, Sam, because you're probably sick of being so popular.
No, I got your text this morning, Winnie. Thank you very much.
Look, you'll be glad to know that many of my friends today are celebrating your birthday. Thousands of them.
Are they?
And then coincidentally, they realised it was Valentine's Day as well.
That was just on the side. They probably came to that revelation a bit later on in the day, Winnie.
Fantastic, fantastic. But the reason I'm ringing, apart from wishing you the most gracious of days, of which you deserve.
Thank you.
And I mean, as my mother used to say, in a very loving and caring way.
And greatly received, Winnie.
Is that, I'm not quite sure what to do, Sab. We've got our lawns established.
Yeah.
And it appears that, Sonny Hammond has reincarnated because we're getting a swather of kangaroos coming in at night with night vision goggles on. And they're eating all my lovely lawn out the front of the house. And I don't want to, we love the kangaroos, but at the same time, you know, fair's fair. You know, I'm not going to go out there and do the Sabrina Hahn maintenance program if it's not going to show some reward, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, the thing is they're eating, they're pooing as well. Yes. So they're sending that to you. You know what kangaroos really dislike is blood and bone.
Oh.
Right.
I reckon they can smell their cousins in there somewhere and they don't like to enter the area. So if you put blood and bone on your lawn, which your lawn will love, I think you'll find that the kangaroos will go, oh, Winnie's a bit on the nose lately, and go to the block next door.
That's like the 70s version, Amber, of Brute 33 Splash On.
Old Spice.
Old Spice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks girls. Winnie. Great work, Sav. And enjoy your day and try and eat properly and get some rest.
Zero chance of that happening. She's already failing as we speak. Winnie, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Winnie.
Donna is in Merivale, which is east of Esperance. Ooh. Hello, Donna.
Good morning, Sabrina. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Donna.
Now, my question is, I've been listening to you talk about using the leaves for mulch.
Yep.
I have lots of chort trees around the house and they drop lots of leaves.
Yep.
Now, I do have lots of kangaroos who come in and spend the night on the lawn. So I have lots of kangaroo poo between my leaves.
Yeah.
And I went through to composting Kate and she told me I could only hot compost it.
No, you can slow compost it, but it'll take a year. So that's kind of a real slow compost. Now, the reason it takes a year is because of the oil that's in the leaves of the eucalypts. If you are going to hot compost it, I should imagine being a chewit, you get like thousands of leaves.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so if you want to hot compost it, you're either going to have pipes that you put steam through.
I don't want to. I've tried it once. It's unsuccessful.
Yeah,
I want to just do the cold.
So do the cold composting. So every 20 centimetres, 30 centimetres of leaf litter, you're going to sprinkle a cup full of blood and bone on it. You can throw the roo poo in there as well, but roo poo basically is kind of like hay, unless it's eating your lawn, and Winnie's roo poo would probably be quite superior. And then you're going to just put some water on it and you're just going to layer it, and then you can build up these piles as tall as you want, cover them with a tarp, leave them for a year.
Oh, superb. Okay. Oh, that's terrific. Because I've just been burning it because I can't use them.
Yeah.
Okay, that's terrific.
But, no, it's all good. Good.
So every 30 centimetres, a layer
A little bit of blood and bone and water it, and then just cover it with a tarp and you just leave it.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
All right.
I need obviously more blood and bone on my lawns because it does not stop the kangaroos coming in.
Okay. Yeah.
Donna, thanks for that. Jen is in Mooleabean. Sorry, Donna, cutting you off. Hi, Jen.
Hey, how you going?
Good. Where's Mooleabean? Mooleabean,
it is north of Bindoon.
Close.
Never even heard of it.
It's a very cool name.
There you go.
What's going on? What's going on in your garden?
What's happening, Jen?
I have a mia problem and they are eating my figs and grapes. So just chasing, I guess, something organic.
Sugar feeders, they are, probably. What you will need to do is you need to identify the ant. So if you can get a piece of sticky tape and sacrifice a few of the ants on the sticky tape, send that into my Pest Guide Reporter app.
Yeah.
They will tell you what species of ant you have and the control mechanism for them, because there are so many types of ants, and some are sugar feeders, some are protein feeders, some are just little, like the gobble guts fish, they just eat everything. So you have to identify the ant, but they're after the sugar.
It's like a meat ant.
Big ants.
Like big and
red and black.
Yeah, but they're around your fig and your grapevine. So essentially you have to find where the nest is. But yeah. You don't want to use any of the heavy stuff around edible plants.
No, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so still send it off to my Pest Guide Reporter app. They will tell you the species, the life cycle, where they usually nest, and give you a product that is safe to use on your edible food.
Okay, sweet. No worries.
Okay. Thanks,
good luck,
Jen.
Thanks for calling in. We've got a couple of lines free, 1300 222 720. Kath in Manager says, my tall kangaroo paw flowers are definitely finished with all the flowers now dead. Can I cut them back or wait till autumn?
No, cut them back now.
Yeah. Another texter, unnamed, what do I do with enormous orb spider webs all through my garden? Kids are scared to play outside because it looks like Halloween.
Aww.
Sorry, kids.
They're the most – okay. So what you need to do is you need to get a kid's book on spiders.
Yes.
Now, the golden orb spider is absolutely beautiful. They don't want to eat children or even adults. So I find with kids that have a fear factor of something, the best thing is education and – helping them to learn about the spider. In my costume I've done for my birthday celebration, I have a beautiful big spider on the sleeve.
Wearing
with pride. So, and I understand that lots of people have that fear of spiders. Spiders are the most amazing arachnids. So I think it's about education. If you break the web, they're just going to make another web, because the web builders, that's how they get their food. So I think get some lovely stories about spiders.
1300 222 720 is the number to call Sabrina. Julia from South Perth says, I had 3 robinias removed from my courtyard due to polyphagous shot hole borer.
Mm.
I have the rebate to replace them. Courtyard is small, 4x8, and is shaded by next door's giant Moreton Bay fig for most of the day. Can you suggest some replacements?
Wowzers.
Yeah, for the robinia.
I remember when robinias came out, and everyone was very excited because they were, the whole spiel was, oh, they're non-suckering. So everyone that put them in cursed the horticultural industry for the last 30 years, because once you put one in, the whole street has robinia suckers.
Yeah.
So replacement, deep shade, tricky. Syzygiums would grow in the shade, but they're going to get powdery mildew and probably scale. It's a tough one for a tree in the shade. Camellias will grow in that amount of shade.
Okay. I like the way I go to say true, like I know what I'm talking about.
No, but see, you're fully convinced.
Fully convincing. That doesn't bode well for the rest of the show.
It doesn't matter, Amber.
Like she knows what she's talking about. It's a case of hubris. Okie dokie. Now, in fact,
yes.
So I've got, I think they're species lily pillies. I've got them up on lollipop hedges.
Yeah.
You try and prune them down and a fence underneath.
Yeah.
I want to put some lily pillies in pots, but it's very north-facing, so very hot at this time of year.
That's all right.
Do I need to do anything to the pots so that they don't fry?
What sort? Is it going to be a glazed pot?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So a sugar glaze or a...
I don't know. Is it better to have raw terracotta or...?
If you're going to have raw terracotta, remember the moisture evaporates out of the terracotta. So I would seal it on the inside. You can get pot seal. You can get terracotta pot sealer.
Nice.
Yeah. So seal it on the inside. Drill extra holes.
Okay.
But use a masonry drill, otherwise you crack your pot. Actually, no, just leave the hole that's there.
Yep.
Put it on legs, seal it. Now, potting mix doesn't have enough oomph in it for lily pillies, so you're going to have 1 bag of potting mix. You're going to put in 1/3 of a bag, write this down, 1/3 of a bag of compost. And I like to hurl in just like a quarter of a bag of poo.
Okay.
So cow poo, mix all that together like a cake, like you've made the cake for me today, and plant them in that.
Oh,
that's the way to go.
Sounds like a go. Helen is encouraging our gorgeous part of the
Hello,
world.
Hello, Helen.
Hello, Helen.
Hi, Sabrina. Happy birthday. Happy Valentine's Day and all the rest.
Thank you so much.
Sabrina, I've got a black beetle. I thought I'd sent a photo through, but your producer couldn't find it. It's not a shiny, eating our nectarines.
Oh.
So the first time in 40 years we've actually got nectarines.
Wow.
That the birds and the rabbits and everything else we've got. And it's not shiny. It's a matte colour. It's segmented. It's got feelers out to the side, quite small. It's got lines, vertical lines along its back. And the legs aren't hairy or spiky or anything.
Hmm.
And it's on all our, it's quite small, and it's on all our nectarines, eating them as fast as they can.
Wow. Sounds like a beetle to me, or it could be a weevil.
Yeah, it looks more like... Oh, no, my husband says it's big, so, yeah, I'm obviously need my glasses.
Okay. now, Helen, I want you to send that to the My Pest Guide reporter because you don't often see those small beetles eating the fruit. So I'm
yeah, this one actually, the photo I... sent actually showed that it was almost eaten the skin entirely of one nectarine. But when we take them off the tree, the beetles are congregating at where the fruit actually attaches to the tree. And when you cut them, they're sometimes inside, not very deep. But
so maybe they're not eating the fruit. Maybe they're going to because there's all different beetles that are pollinators. So it's a bit hard for me to say without. If Dr. Bugalugs is listening, we'll get Dr. Bugalugs to ring in and give us his tip, but he's probably going to say the same. He needs a photo. But I want you to take a picture of said well, you've taken a picture of the beetle.
Mm.
Send it in. Have you got the My Pest Guide Reporter app?
No.
Okay, download it.
App. Okay.
Yeah, it's absolutely the most sensational app for all gardeners to have. So My Pest Guide Reporter, download it, you send a picture to them of the beetle and it's important to say what size they are.
Ah, well, I'll get my husband to do that because obviously I'm hopeless at
size. Yes, so for you it's small and for him it's quite large. Yeah, because we've had a look, but we can't find the photo.
Cannot find it.
And Helen, can you give us a ring back once it's identified as to what it was? Because I would like to know as well.
Yeah, and I'll try to resend the photo. But I'll definitely do the download as well.
Okay,
and
beautiful.
Put a keyword in the text like beetle. And then we can
pick it up.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for that.
Okay,
thanks, Helen. Tracy is in Gero. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
Hello, Tracy. Good.
Hi. Just have a question about I have a bird's nest fern which has been in the ground for probably more than 20 years.
Yeah.
And I'm wanting to know if I can transplant it into a like a pot, like I think it's made out of like stone or something.
Yeah.
And probably 60-centimeter pot, maybe. I don't know. It should be big enough. I'm not. Yeah. And just is that possible? And when and how should I do it? Like if possible.
Okay, that's extremely possible. So I wouldn't do it until the end of summer, though.
Right. Yeah.
So you need to make sure the big thing is that pot has to have extra holes in it because don't forget bird's nest ferns don't actually grow in soil. They grow in the crutch of a tree. So in the crutch of a tree.
I have a friend who used to say the crutch of the matter is against the crux of the matter. I'd much rather get to the crutch of the matter.
Well, me too. I think it would make things so much more interesting.
Right.
So, Tracy, I would get a combination of orchid mix with potting mix. Mix the two together 50-50 because you want it really free draining. Extra holes in the pot. Put the pot in a nice shady area where it's going to get water. So around March, end of March.
Okay. And what sort of fertilizer should I put sea salt or something in it?
You can put a bit of seaweed stuff, but they don't. You can throw the odd banana leaf in, dead bird, a dead rat, something like that. They usually get their nutrients from leaf litter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No worries. All right.
Okay.
I'll give it a crack. Yep.
Thanks, well done. Tracy. Thanks, Trace. Thanks.
Jenny is in Willerton. Hello, Jenny.
Hello. Happy birthday to Sabrina.
Thank you, Jenny.
I have a problem with my blueberry tree. In a pot, a big pot, normally gives lovely fruit, but last 2 years, absolutely hopeless.
Oh.
And this year, it's even lost its leaves. What am I doing wrong?
Okay. So what happens with plants, once they're in a pot for a couple of years, the space where the soil is gets taken up by the root system, and or ants get in from the bottom of the pot, excavate the soil out, and so it's not absorbing water.
Right.
So get a wetting agent, get some compost, water it first, put the compost in, get the hose on a high jet, jet it in so it fills up all the little gaps, and then fertilise it at the beginning of every season and make sure that, you know, you just keep the water up.
Right. When should I prune it, though?
Usually after fruiting, so end of summer is a really good time, because some blueberries fruit in autumn, others fruit in summer, so it's a bit hard to know which one you've got. But usually after fruiting, the only time you don't prune is November, December, January, February. No pruning.
February. Could I also ask you a very quick question on when should I prune azaleas?
So they are better off being done. You prune those early March.
Okay, brilliant. Steve is in Fremantle. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, ladies, and happy birthday from Fremantle.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Question about a lawn which has basically grown above the level of the soil around it. Do I yellow sand it or do I put other things the gardening place wants to sell me?
Okay, I would go for the stuff that the gardening place wants to sell you, Steve, because Fremantle has plenty of sand, particularly the yellow sand. I don't think you need to add any more. So I would go for sort of a lawn reviver or a special compost. You only need to do that to your lawn once every 5 years anyway.
Okay. Thank you. The other question is repotting an avocado.
Yep.
Now or not now?
Yeah, do it now.
Okay.
Do it easy peasy.
Thank you, Steve. He's a happy customer. Bye. Sarah is in Kalamunda. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Amber. Good morning, Sab, and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Sarah.
Now, I've sent you a photo of my, they're called swamp hibiscus, but I don't know what the botanical name is.
Yeah, and they have a dinner plate size
beautiful
flower.
Yep.
They're from Queensland. They're beautiful.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's in my filtration pond, which feeds my natural swimming pool.
Yes, perfect.
But I've grown these from seed.
Oh, awesome.
They are as they are. You can see them in the pots. There's about 8 or 9 of them.
Yep.
But I'm a bit paralysed about what I do next.
Okay. So
I need to grow them in water going forward, or can I grow them out?
No, you can grow them out of water, Sarah. They don't need to be in water. I mean, they do love water, but they don't need to be in water, as long as you can water them every couple of days.
Right.
And they love the heat. So
what do I do next? Can I plant them out? It's
plant them out.
Hot at the moment.
I would keep them until are they going to go in full sun?
I can have any combination you think would suit.
Okay. So half a day of sun is better.
Okay.
They have to be, you know, you'll have to keep the water up. So that's the other thing to keep in mind. So if you can give them a bit of protection from the afternoon sun, that's what they love the most. And you could do that at the end of February.
End of Feb, yeah. All right. And improved soil, presumably.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you, Sarah. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Herb and Eileen have sent a photograph of their brekkie through, and it looks like a special occasion brekkie. I don't think I've ever seen a brekkie.
Oh, because it's Valentine's Day.
That's what it is.
Oh,
what,
do Herb's trying to woo her. He's doing a really good job. Look
what
at
were the leaves that you mentioned?
I thought he said turmeric leaves.
That's right, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's got tatties, there's an avocado, there's a couple of slices of cheese, there's plums I can see.
Yeah.
Looks like pear sliced up, like beautiful sourdough toast.
Wow.
Anyway, gosh, you've set a very high standard there.
And it's Irene?
Eileen.
Eileen.
Yes.
So, well, those two are off to a very romantic start to the day.
Yeah.
Well done.
How nice.
Little bit of effort.
How long have you guys been together? Text me through Herb and Eileen. Right, now Karen is in Peppermint Grove Beach. Hello, Karen.
Good morning, gorgeous girls. How are you?
Good morning, Karen. We are sensational.
Can confirm we're gorgeous.
Yes. Oh, stunning.
You make my Saturday morning fabulous.
What can we do for you?
What can she do for you?
Okay, I deliberately planted every plant in my garden from scratch that are from this area.
Yep.
And there's one that's giving me a lot of grief. It's the Herbertia.
Yep.
It seems to have a little buddy that comes along each year and it crawls on the leaves and does damage, and it looks like it's all rusty by the time it's finished, and by the time I recognise the damage has started, I don't know what to do to stop it. And when I pluck the leaves off and I have a look at them held up to the light, it looks like some critter's like made little windows all through them.
Ah, a little leaf miner. It is a little critter making windows, sort of getting into...
I don't like it and I need to destroy it.
Kill. Getting into the Christmas decos early. Karen, that's what it's doing. So there's two things that'll do that. There's a beetle, and there's also it's a very, very small caterpillar. And the beetle.
Yes, that's what I think it is.
Yeah, okay. So you can spray your Hibertia with a product that is just for caterpillars. It's safe to use if the birds eat the caterpillars. They're going to be okay. It doesn't affect them.
I use that on my dichondra sometimes if I get
okay. That's what you need to use on your Hibertia.
Oh, you're joking. That's fantastic.
Yeah, same, same.
To come and cause damage to like one third of the bush and then stops.
Yeah, yeah. They run out of oomph. They get tired and need to lay down.
Oh, lovely. Thank you so much for your help and good luck with all the wonderful advice you give to everybody.
Thank you. Our absolute pleasure. We've got a couple of people giving us, I've lost it, some suggestions about the kids that are frightened with the spiders. And apparently there's some great programs.
It's a bush kindy, Zippy's Bush Kindy at King's Park.
Yeah.
Where kids can learn about animals and plants and help them not be scared of things.
Yeah.
There was something a little bit further down I saw you spotted, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Oh, get off
and
there.
I've lost it
the
now.
The machines are taking over. And someone has also sent through a photo of an orb spider that has a flying fox face on its abdomen, which is pretty extraordinary. Gorgeous. No, it was a long text. I can't see it. Bugger. It really does go berserko in here. Linda is in Leaderville. Hello, Linda. What's your question for Sab?
Oh, good morning, girls. Happy birthday, Sab.
Thank you.
I sent through a photo of my square-fruited mallet.
Yes, I've got it.
Which I put in from rootstock about 2 months ago, and it's been going great guns.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like the tip is now sort of black and it stopped growing.
Yeah. So that's because that's the dominant shoot in eucalypts. It's called the apical meristem, that top shoot. So some insect has definitely had a bit of a chow down on it. And that's disrupted the growth. I wouldn't worry too much about it, actually, because what will happen is the tree. So how long has it not grown?
Oh, probably a couple of weeks.
Nah, That's okay. It's just that the very tip of the growth point has been attacked by an insect, so the tree's gone, oh, well, I'm not going to give you any more until you bugger off. Don't cut that tip off, though. So you can spray it with a pyrethrum-based spray, but don't do anything else.
Beautiful. Nothing.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I don't want to lose it. It's beautiful.
No, they're a gorgeous tree. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Linda.
Thanks, Linda.
Hi, Linda. Michael is in Mandurah. Good morning, Michael.
Hello. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Michael.
It's my mum's birthday today.
So all the best people are born today.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've inherited a blueberry bush.
Yep.
It's in about a 30 or 40 litre masonry pot.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a leaf on it. The top little spindle branches are all dry and I can actually crack them, break them.
Mm.
But further down, it's still supple.
Right.
I'm just wondering what I have to do to even attempt to resurrect this plant.
So who gave you the plant? They've given you a bum steer there, Michael. I mean, really, you should have said, thanks very much, but a live one that had berries on it would have been better.
Would be better, yeah.
Okay, so you may as well prune the sticky, deady bits off because they're not going to do anything. So prune them off. Put it in semi-shade, either dappled light or morning sun, no afternoon sun. Don't liquid fertilize it, but you can give it some seaweed solution. So I don't want you to fertilize it because it's under stress at the moment. So just keep the water up. I would water it every day and keep it out of the hot easterly.
Okay, that sounds great. I'll do that. I'd like to get it going again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
Even though your friends are pretty stingy and give you a half-dead plant.
get new friends too, hey?
Thank you.
See if you can pick them up at the shops. Thank you. Bye-bye. And we have Bob in Caversham. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Ooh.
Thank you, girls.
Pleasure.
Show, and happy 21st birthday, Sabrina.
Oh, aren't you kind, Bob?
We only have 21st birthdays now.
Fair enough.
Okay. I've got three silver princess trees out in the driveway alongside my driveway. We live at the end of the cul-de-sac.
Yep.
We also have quite a reasonable leak from the water corporation and the ground around them is absolutely saturated now. We lost one.
Yeah.
And then we just lost another one and the tips on the third one on the leaves are browning off.
Yeah.
Is that because of the water?
Yeah. Silver princesses don't like to grow in a swamp. Which is interesting because, Water Corp are always on about banging on at gardeners how we waste water. But anyway, well, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Let's not libel ourselves this early in the day.
So you could put banana plants in there because they love lots
of... Oh, that's a good idea.
Yep. So you could say to Water Corp, no, leave the leak for another 30 years. That's okay. You'll get around to it. We'll just grow a crop of bananas on it. But
we had a property in Gidgegan up.
Yeah.
With a really large dam, 2 acre dam.
Yeah.
And we have paper barks in there. And also, what are those other trees, like a pine tree?
Yeah. Well, you could put paper barks in there.
Yeah, and they grew really, really well.
Yeah. So fill up their swamp with the stuff that you would like, but the silver princess are not going to cut the mustard with that much water.
Yeah, okay.
So you can say you can write a letter saying, thanks for your assistance with the swamp. We've decided to make it a habitat area and put in paper barks.
Yeah, well, a few of the people up in the street have suggested I go and get my excavator and we put a dam in.
Well, you may as well because the Water Corp won't even notice.
Bob, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you very much, ladies.
And I'm sorry to everyone to whose calls and texts we didn't get to. It is coming up to news time. Sabrina Hahn, I cannot believe I get to hang out with you every week. It is my great privilege and my great joy. Coming to work is 1,000% better because you're in it.
Oh, I am.
And you're not allowed to ever leave me.
I'm not going to.
We'll go off a cliff together.
We will go off. We're all young. We're young here.
And so a bit of a bash at your place, fancy dress. Is there a theme?
Yes, it has to be something you would find in a garden.
Oh.
So I'm expecting people to come as all sorts of...
Ziggy butts.
Yeah. You won't find a ziggy butt in my garden, but you'll find spiders.
Spiders.
Yeah.
Oh, and things that make you go, I'm such a scaredy cat. And... I get to see you. Are you coming in next week?
You bet I am.
Because you are like pretty much exactly 10 years older than me. So I'm 60 next week. So we're going off like a frog in a sock. What is me? Oh, no, I'm not 60 next week. I'm the 60 the week
in 2 weeks, Amber. In 2 weeks. We got you covered.
News time. Thanks for joining us. See ya. Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Or listen on your radio to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 720 AM.
You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Call us in the studio on 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.